There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set them roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Tax and Jones.
Radio.
And now for something completely different.
All right.
I turned it up a little bit for you, Lou, there.
Yes, sir.
It is Monday, the 13th of December, 2010. I am Dutch Jones. Let me get my other headphone on here. Ooh, I just banged something there. And we are at a remote location. We are not at our usual stronghold here for the Dutch Jones Radio Cavalcade of Comedy and Information. Instead, we are somewhere in the valley. We were taking our Christmas break starting this Monday. Lou's out of home school. We're going to hang out here for a few days with the in-laws. Stacy's been doing Christmas shopping. She's already annoying me by telling me she got me stuff. She knows I'm like a little kid. It's like, I want to know. I hate presents. Not because I don't like getting things, because I hate the anticipation. And I told her not to buy me anything, and like 3 minutes before we went on the show, she goes, "You're going to have such a fun Christmas," or something. What'd you say? "You're going to like your Christmas presents?" And I'm like, don't do that to me. It drives me nuts. I start tearing up the house looking for where they're hid. If she wraps them, I start getting out the X-ray kit and my razor blades to open it. It just drives me nuts. Because we agreed that we would buy what we want, give them to each other to wrap, and then put them under the tree just for the show. Didn't I? And you broke your promise. Little bah, humbug. I know. I'm not a big fan of celebrating gifts for Christmas. I celebrate. You know, I'm not being an elitist or poo-pooing anybody who does it. Don't get me wrong. Especially if you listened to the show last Thursday Thursday with Warren Mark Campbell, the pastor, talking about Christmas trees. I love all that. I love seeing that we got the Christmas tree up and all that. It's just, I don't think I need anything. I got everything I need. Well, you know, within reason.
Not very good Christmas.
I know. We never did Christmas as a kid. Really that much. We got oranges and snow block makers and this.
Just trying to make your
you know, it's someday they're going to make a movie about me and I'll have my own little like rosebud moment where, you know, I'll remember some Christmas gift, you know, not a sled. It'll probably be a Red Ryder BB gun, you know, so that's okay. But yeah, she's driving me nuts already. We've got some stuff for Lewis. We got some stuff for Anthea. He knows some of it because we get what he asked for. Yeah, Lou did this. Lou was funny. He had gotten about $50 in Christmas money already. Well, he went to Bud K, and they have a $50 mystery purchase where you give them $50, they send you $100 worth of unknown items. You're probably going to get a bunch of like novelty lighters or something that you can't have because they have like naked women on them or something.
Oh.
Well, we'll find a use for them. We'll give them away on the show or something. Paint clothes on them. It'll be knives and rings?
No, mostly knives and
Oh, you may get a sword, so it's a grab bag from Bud K. So if you're looking for a really good, and it's still not too late to get it before Christmas, I think, right? Because the 13th, we got 12 days left. 12 days of Christmas. So if you're looking for something for the whole family and you only got $50, go to that Bud K thing. You'll get, like, how many knives are they saying, do you know? So it could be one thing worth $100?
No.
It could be five things worth $20 each?
Yeah.
Could be, so you know, you might do that. And then last night we were watching the knife show on what's it called, Cutlery Corner?
Yeah,
Cutlery Corner.
CutleryCorner.net.
And but they have the TV show that's on after
knife
others.
Show.
The knife show. I've been watching it for years.
Great.
And everything that would come up, I'm like, Lou, come here, you gotta look at this. You need this. This is a great pimp knife. You know. Yeah, pearl handled straight razors and stuff like that. I'm like, Lou, you need this. You can be like a total pimp daddy. And he finally stopped coming in. And then they showed some cool tactical knives, and he wouldn't come in. And then he watched. You watched it all night, didn't you? You did, didn't you? You were like up all night going, okay, I'm gonna order.
A sword
that we gave away as a prize. Yeah, it was donated to us, and then we gave it away. It had, like, the Washington Monument as the blade, and it was
$39.
So Christmas stuff, that's what we're doing. It reminds me of the old days. My dad had, you know, he usually just gave me boxes of ammo. Something in the chat room, what it say? I can't...
Sounds like the Home Shopping Network thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. It's always this southern guy who's talking like, you ain't never going to see another sale like this. They only 375,000 of them made. What?
Sounds like he's drunk.
Yeah, he sounds drunk. It's great. It's on like 8 different channels on the satellite. And, you know, he's like, here you can buy 27 Warrior Commando Specialty Open Assist Knives.
Real cool, Bruce.
They're $75 with retail value of over $3,000 if you could sell them each. You know, and it's just like, what are they... You know, some of them is good, you know. But you know, some of them, when you get them, the blades are going to wobble. And the finest Pakistani steel you're going to find anywhere. Am I doing the voice right? Is it a good voice? It's how he sounds.
Yeah, it's funny. You have to find a nice show.
He's hilarious. If it's on right, if you're in a later time zone right now listening to the Dutch Jones radio program, turn on your cable or whatever and just look for the knife show. And it's just great. And they show like these, and then all of a sudden they'll whip out this like, you know, granddaddy's whittling pocket knife looking thing. This knife is $127. There's only 20 made. And it's like, why would anybody buy that? It was like bright yellow. They call it banana bone.
Oh, that's right.
Banana bone. They dye the bone yellow or something. Then they had one Santa's little helper. It looked like the kind of knife. Santa's helper. It looked like a knife you'd get at a truck stop for 50 cents. And they were selling them for like $10. But then other knives, you get like 12 of them for $25. And they're just, you know, tactical. You know, they're fake Spyderco's and all that. So. Yeah, we have tons of them. Some guy gave them to us, remember? We were at a radio shop, and the guy's like, and he said, yeah, a buddy of mine bought like 300 of those on the knife show, and he just brings them in here, and we tried to sell them for $5 each. Nobody ever bought them. Yeah, Lou's got one right now. I got one on my pants down here. It's pants optional day again. I'm wearing shorts, but the pants that I had on earlier, I don't know where it is. It's in here somewhere. Oh, you were trying to find the knife show. It's too early here. It's in late. They try and get people like after midnight when they're off guard, and they're like, yeah, my boys, they need 27 pocket knives, each with a different president that didn't do anything on them. You know, they have these weird collector sets, you know, like, it's just bizarre stuff. I don't know where I got it from the tag. Oh, talking about Christmas gifts. But just this year, you know, it's sit your family down and tell them, you know, hey, it's not about the gifts, it's about the love. It's about the gift of Jesus Christ. We're going to be caroling next Saturday. I can't wait. We do it every year with the churches in the area. All the different churches get together. And we carol. We get a big old huge bonfire. The fire department, the pyromaniacs, the volunteer pyromaniacs come out. And they bring in Santa, you know. But we sing, last year it was the Presbyterian pastor. He did all the caroling, and he brought in like a lot of Christian, even though he's Presbyterian, he brought in a bunch of Christian hymns and stuff, so that was pretty good. And then he explained the meaning of them, but they cut out the real, you know, lines that would offend the humanists. But we go, and we sit on hay bales, drink cocoa.
I was looking at Christmas cards.
Christmas cards?
Yeah, not too many says Merry Christmas.
Oh, no, they don't. There are no Christian Christmas cards. What we were doing today, we were saying Merry Christmas to all the salespeople, and they'd all go, Happy Holidays. And I go, Happy Holidays? What, they won't let you say Happy, you know, Merry Christmas? And they just kind of looked at me weird and walked out. But you do what you can for the cause. It's funny. I fight a lot of battles online, so I just thought today I was out in the public, I'd try it. We went out. I found today something interesting. Lou, you got your feet, your dirty feet, all over our bed.
It's protected by the pillow.
You want to get it beaten on the air, boy? Get your feet off of where we sleep. I told you not to go outside in bare feet. This isn't Appalachia. teenagers. But I got this hoodie at Walmart. Yeah, I know, we're supposed to boycott Walmart. No, we're at war, people, and I shop at my enemy's quartermaster. This hoodie that I got that is, the best way to describe it is the coyote color. I like to wrap that blanket around your feet.
Hey, that's mine.
Or that, I'm sorry, that towel or something. Wrap your, you know, just get your feet off of my pillows. Your feet are filthy. You look like a gypsy. I wish, I'm going to turn on the webcam and put your feet and hold your feet to the camera.
Turn on the webcam.
I can take a picture with this phone and email it to everybody. So you better watch yourself. So anyway, where was I? We got this. I just saw this sweatshirt. Remember I talked last week or so about maybe having some alternative tactical gear that makes you blend in better? So this hoodie that is a coyote in color, I got extra, extra large, so it'd be big and baggy. I put it on, and then the pull strings for the hood, I lifted them up, and I realized they were earbuds. I'm like, there's headphones built into this hoodie. And then I followed the line down, and it goes into a third pocket that's zipped up where you could put your communication device in there. And, you know, you're saying, well, it's just headphones. Well, you could monitor your radio that way. You could monitor a cell phone for the command very easily. And they were $20. They came in different camouflages, like urban camouflage, night camouflage. Was there woodland camouflage?
No.
They were running low. Yeah, so go to Walmart and check that out. And they were over by the Dickies, but they weren't Dickies. They were it's got a weird name, like
Charlie's.
No, it's like You Can't Find Me or something. Yeah, Lou, look on the tag. Pull it out and look on the tag, 'cause you've been rubbing your feet all over it for the last 20 minutes.
It's actually nice.
Yeah, I like it. No, on the tag in the collar, Lou, in the collar. What does that say in there? Where the hood is, find the hood. He's like having a hard time figuring this out.
Oh boy.
He has to take his headphones off to do it. What is up with that, Lou?
Yeah. Look at him.
Hand it to me, Lou. Hand it to me. Okay? I can't wait forever.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Brand. Hide seek brand. And they're good. They're nicely put together. That was just sad, Lou.
Yeah.
That was just sad. Looked like you were wrestling with a scarecrow that had no filling in it. No, I would have picked it up and looked at it. Folks, don't, you know, when you're buying the stuff, make it practical. Remember what we said Friday? That, you know, if you got to get stuff, get Christmas gifts that are going to be useful for the cause, plus you can wear. I got some long johns that are woodland camouflage. I just got the shirt because I've already got the pants. So it just makes sense. We got some felt gloves. Throw me those gloves right there. These are just more like liners. Right in front of you. See those things with the fingers in them, Lou? Okay, thank you, Lou. And these are just $5, and they've got nylon linings and stuff. But gloves, you cannot go wrong with gloves. They're Faded Glory brand. I think they were $5. What?
Yeah.
What are you gonna say?
$5.
What did I say they were? $5. But Stacy and I got a pair. They're hunter green with black thumb and palm. And, you know, they're not great, but they will fit inside the military inserts. You know, the leather military inserts that everybody has laying around somewhere. I don't know where mine went, but good to have them. And gloves. You can never have too many gloves if you live in a cold climate. I know you guys are laughing at me. Ooh, it got down to 32 degrees there. But it happens. It does happen here. I was telling you guys that we were going to get a new phone. We got it. I'm not going to give the phone number out now because I'm not ready for phone calls, but we're going to test it out. Stacy tested it while she was out Christmas shopping. It sounds clear and clean. Although this technology scares me. I don't know. It's like scarier than Star Trek stuff. It's like the phone does like 20 different things. I'm afraid if I hit the wrong button, I'm going to charge, you know, like empty the checking account or something. Because I don't know how it works. It's got GPS in it, like a GPS. We're not talking about where you can just find a map. It actually, and then you put in your loved one's phone numbers and it tells you where they are.
That's creepy.
That's creepy. So I went to the guy and I said, hey, I want to get this turned off to the store where it was purchased from for me. And he's like, well, I don't know how to do that. You're going to have to like go online and figure it out. So we're going to do that. But these new phones are scary, but it's just for the show. They already know who we are and where we are anyway. And if you're just, you know, tuning in, it was funny last night. People were calling the pastor's house going, is Dutch okay? Where's Dutch? And he's like, and his poor wife's like, why are you calling me? Or they're calling the church. They were in the church working, so they weren't calling his house. They were calling the church office because the website got taken down. It kept getting attacked and taken down. So finally, I wrote the server, the company that provides it, and I said, just put it up on a completely different server. That way it'll take forever for him to find it. And that worked. And about 5 minutes before going to air, it came back up. So DutchJones.info is up. DutchJones.info is up. And I want to thank people for calling and worrying about us. It was pretty. It was people that I've never heard from before. It was nobody that is in the room. I can tell you that right now. It was people like Joe, a guy named John, somebody named Eddie. They were all like, what happened? What was that, Lou?
What are you doing?
Don't cut yourself, Lou.
Don't cut cords either.
Yeah. Lord's flip. Lewis is juggling knives while we're doing the show.
Please
careful.
Put it away.
You're scaring your mom.
Yeah, I
thought you. Did you cut yourself?
No.
Are you sure? Show me your hands. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, you're missing two. That brings up a story. And if you're listening, I'm not doing this to make fun of you. It's a teachable moment. Oh, the lock went out. Yeah, don't even put pressure on it. A good knife. We were making jokes about, you know, buying cheap knives. A good knife too can fail you. It's turkey season up here, and Lou and Steve Klein and a guest. I won't give his name. I don't think he didn't give me permission to, but I'm sure Steve Klein doesn't mind. Mr. X. Well, originally Mr. X and Steve Klein came up to hunt pigs on Saturday. Ended up being I gave an impromptu weapons awareness class for two little girls. It was really good. I love teaching, especially younger, 10 and 11, I think they were. Their father brought him up. I don't know if he's in the chat room. Is he in the chat room? I can't see the. He had a sight in a rifle, and he also asked me to train his kids and get them, you know, familiarized, and that was good. And then Mr. X had a weapon that needed to be checked out. It hadn't been fired in like 10 years, he said. So we went out to the range and did that. And then Mr. Klein and Mr. X went up looking for hogs. After a few hours, they didn't find any, so they came down. And, well, we decided we were going to get some turkey, so we dispatched Lou to go get a turkey. And basically ended up missing him, but he ran him right into Mr. X, who had also pulled turkey tags. And so what happened was that he got the last one in the line. So we had to give a lesson in how to butcher a field turkey, which was fun. We got the fire going, huge fire. We were boiling a garbage can full of water to boil. And what we do is we don't skin them. We dip them in boiling hot water, hold them in there for about 30 to seconds to a minute. I think we had them in there for about 45 seconds. Pull them out and then just start ripping the feathers off. It's much easier after the skin is scalded. And, okay, I still got time. I thought it was, when I'm not looking at the clock, it seems like I've been talking too long. And, so we were doing that. Well, we had to cut the head off of it, before we could do all this stuff to bleed it and all that. And, he pulled out this beautiful deer antler handled bowie knife that, he had gotten as a present. You know, it was a very expensive knife. So he's going to chop the head off with this thing. I should have brought my hatchet. He held the knife above his head, went down, struck this turkey. It was already dead in the head, in the neck. And the blade broke off. And we're in the dark, right? But there's some headlights on and then the fire going on. And I see this glint of something flying off to my right. Yeah, and it landed at Lou's feet like 10 feet away. And we're like, what in the world? What happened? Yeah, and we looked, and the blade had broken right at the handle, and it sliced the first knuckle of his pointing finger on his right hand. Not real bad. It was a minor cut, but it was bizarre. Your gear, it's like, you know, the knife looked real pretty, but could you imagine if he got in a fight with some Redskins with that thing? He's fighting Indians, and he went to chop a guy in the forehead, and the blade just went flying. Sure, it'd mess up the Indian. But I was really surprised, and he was really upset because it was a gift, and he was told it was like a $180 knife. So, you know, and I've got a free hatchet that I found in the ground that worked for a couple dozen animals. So check your gear out, study it, know the limits of it. You know, a knife that might be perfect for skinning or, you know, for dicing up meat, you know, in the kitchen. Which is funny because we went in and Lou found just a butcher knife, a cheap butcher knife that you get in, you know, you get the butcher block set, and that cut the turkey's head right off. Really, really weird. So, I don't know, just a teachable moment. Again, you know, if you listen to this replay, Mr. X, I'm not doing it to make fun of you. I mean, it could have just as easily happened to me if I'd have done it.
Or
any one of us. It's just bizarre that some knives are specifically narrowed. And I know that the high carbon steel on some knives that make them hold an edge make them weaker. And, you know, I had with me my my survival knife, my like Air Force survival knife that I got for $38. Yeah, double-edged knives, tips are weak. You know, there's knowing your equipment is really critical. The knife that you might carry into battle for stabbing people is not really good for survival, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's, you know, what would have happened if we'd had one of those $9 Rambo knives and tried it, even if it was sharp, not enough weight. So a hatchet does a hatchet's job, a knife does a knife's job, and I kind of blame myself for not grabbing my hatchet. You know, I should have. Because I knew what we were going to do. But we, you know, it wasn't late either. It gets dark here about 5:15 now, and we're in a valley, so boom, black. But it was nice sitting around the fire. It's been a while since we've done that. It was a good thing. We're going to need to do more of it. But that was a good Saturday having Steve Klein. Like I said, I told you he was going to come up. Good training, stuff like that to do. And something to keep in mind, keep your knives for the utility. I don't know if you guys may, I don't know a lot about knives, but... I don't think there's one knife that does it all, you know, and I need to find somebody who knows knives. I need to get an expert. There's a couple of people that claim to know knives, but then when I start talking to them, they know more than I do. You know, that's obvious. I don't know anything about knives. I don't even know. Lou knows more than I do. I don't even know what kind of steel or whatever to use. So it's, you know, what, 440 versus, what are the different things, Lou? I don't even know.
420.
Yeah, what are the like the knives you get, like your pickle knife, the Gurkha, the Gherkin?
I think that's a 440.
That's 440, but it's made where?
South African.
She is South African. Are the Pakistani knives garbage? I don't know. We need to get somebody on here who knows knives, and if you know somebody, have them contact me. Have them reach out to the email, and I'd love to have somebody on if they know what they're talking about, because I wouldn't know if they were giving bad information. I wouldn't be able to tell you that. Minuteman called me this morning, and my new phone, I didn't know how to answer it. So after about an hour, I figured out how to call him back. And he was saying that on Liberty Tree Radio, on the Intelligence Report, the morning show, it had to be the morning show. Speaking of that, did you get the radio station set up? You're going to have to do it right now, aren't you? They were talking about after Christmas sales on these new LED Christmas lights that, you know, we're in here in a room, we got these old-fashioned Christmas lights. But the LED Christmas lights that are red or blue, you know, tactical, buy them up. Use them in your tactical operations centers. Use them in your basement. They're great for tactical operations. And one thing that I used to do with them when we did the Toys for Tots parades for the militia and the four-wheel drive group I was with, we would cut the plug off the end and just hook them directly to the battery, a 12-volt battery, and they would illuminate. Now, if you guys know something different than I know about the new ones, this was 5 years ago, but we would do it. You don't even have to use an inverter. You could keep them inside your vehicle across your dash, and they're very, you know, they're very low output. And if one goes out, the whole thing doesn't go out, I guess is the way they're designed, unlike the old Christmas lights. So after Christmas, be looking for these strands and storm, especially like the ones I'm looking at. You know, they're flashing different colors and stuff, but they're green on the cords. Be a great way. If you got a hallway or a stairway you want to illuminate in your house in a tactical situation, you don't want to be bright light and draw attention. They're very low draw electricity. So that was a great idea. I was really thankful to Minuteman for calling up with that tip. I hadn't even thought of that. So be checking out these post-Christmas sales for things like that that can be applied to the cause. Don't, you know, of course you guys all know about the general sales. Look for backpacks, clothes, winter gear, all that kind of stuff. But that Christmas light thing is a real, real nice little tip there. I really like that. Let's see. I've got in the second half hour and next hour, we're going to do some tips on, you know, or not tips. I'll be going over articles and things. I'm going to go through a two-person list. I've been getting requests for that again. Go through a two-person supply list. We may do that. You know, what you should have in your, you know, your get-out bag. You know, get out a Dodge bag, good, or bug-out bag, whatever you want to call it. Let's see. What else was there? People keep suggesting that I do a separate Facebook page for just survival information so it won't scare the general public. Maybe we're looking into that. I don't, you know, just having information and lists and sheets. They said they keep trying to send their relatives to my show, and they're scared. They go to the DutchJones.info website. They go to the Dutch Jones Facebook page, and they see the militant Christianity, and it scares them off. Mm. Well, you guys know, I mean, maybe I need to revisit it, but my overall feeling is like casting pearls. If they're afraid of it, that's fine. But we have more and more people now that 4 years ago were laughing at us are now coming to the church, and they've got all kinds of ideas. They're all like, oh, yeah, we want to come up and help, and we want to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm like, where were you 4 years ago? And if you know all this, why do you need us? You know, if you've hardened your target down in the valley, then, you know, what do you need to come over here for? Sorry, but, you know, it's a weird philosophy to get into. Things are getting bad all over. I watched Glenn Beck today for the first time in a long time, and he's scared. He's scared. He was showing the riots in England when they shook up the Prince of Wales and all that stuff, and showing the riots going over on in Europe, and he's saying it's going to happen here, it will happen here, and we need to get ready for it. He's missing the point a little bit. He's starting to realize it's, you know, what the Fabian socialists are doing and things like that. And he's telling everybody to prepare, prepare, prepare. More people that the church hasn't seen in a long time are coming. People are calling the church and asking how to get involved. How can I store food? But it's all about commitment. You know, if you're dedicated and you're invited. Excuse me, I'm coughing. I need you to get me some water. I don't know if they turned on the heater.
For the worst.
Yeah, prepare for the worst. I need some water right now. We need to prepare for my coughing because they turned on the heater, I think, and the dust or something. Do you feel it too?
No.
I feel something hitting me. But, yeah, the angry mob comes for Prince Charles, and suddenly, you know, everybody's saying, oh, it could happen here. Well, it's always been planned to happen here. We've lost the republic. It's not a matter of whether or not we will lose it. The economy is going to crash. I heard people at church on Sunday talking about how silver's going to take off, and they're all going to go buy all the silver. And I keep asking, well, how much food do you have? How much water purification do you have? We've got a new product now that it's got all the attachments to hook the water filtration up in your cabin or your RV or your home or whatever. And I'm not just trying to sell them; they're expensive. They're like $850. But I'm like, instead of buying an ounce of gold, don't you think, I mean, what you're going to have to buy water at $500 a gallon, you know, because that's what the profiteering is going to be, or what inflation will be. Wouldn't it be better if you just invested in a means of production now? And honestly, some people aren't listening to me. The wise ones are, and the poor people are listening to me because they can't go buy a bunch of stuff. What's going on out there?
Nothing.
Mom got up and ran out like there was a possum or something. It's like, we're in town. What you doing that for? Excuse me, folks, while I take a drink of water. Lou, why don't you go into a break right now? Make sure you play the commercials for the website since it's up, and play something nice and dandy for the listeners. We'll be back in the next half hour. I've got some articles that are just ridiculous stuff that I'm going to share with you in the news like I'd like to do and give you the Dutch Jones view. Are you playing it? Why not? I don't hear any music. I like to talk over the music. It's all professional sounding when I do that. And people think they're actually part of a real radio station experience. There we go. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you on UBroadcast. And I want to thank you for tuning in. We've got another hour and a half or so to go. Depends on whether or not I hold out. And we'll be back after the break.
We're gonna make it.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
What kind of nut job am I? Will you please tell me?
Government.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll send roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, yes.
Nincompoop.
I don't know what you're doing over there, Lou, but it's entertaining. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I'm going to lean into my microphone because that's what professionals do, I heard. And this is the Dutch Jones radio program on the road. And my last few comments in the chat room about using urine and a solar still. Solar still is always the purification system of last resort. Lou says he's drank his own urine before, and the solar still makes it taste better. Yeah, I filtered it through cactus before, and it tastes better than the solar still than filtering urine through cactus. Is that my phone? No. And but yeah, I guess heat source. Last resort is drinking your own urine. I mean, period. End of story. Unless you've got some huge, huge problem, you know. Yeah, Kool-Aid packet. I'm talking about, just real quick, Madoff, Bernie Madoff, the Ponzi scheme guy. His son was found hung from a dog leash. Kind of weird. They won't let his dad out of prison to go to his funeral. You know, people hate it when one of their own, you know, snitches on him and turns himself in. And, he was the first one to kind of trigger this thing. So I don't know what's going on there. I mean, I put that up there with John Carradine and all that. Did I say John Carradine? David Carradine, you know, hanging himself in the closet. Who knows? But it is weird, admittedly, Warlin. Yeah, but I was saying you should have three ways to get your water. You should, at the very least, you should be able to boil it. Bleach, tabs, filtrations, purification systems, stills. There's, you know, survival straws, the water bottles. We've got every single one of them. We even have the large, and yes, we even have the big Sawyer 5-gallon water bucket that, you know, does 500 gallons a day or whatever. What's in there? You're better not drinking untreated urine too much. So, yeah. You can't drink urine, and they always show it. You know, these people, these desperate illegals that come across the border, there they get trapped in a U-Haul, they drink their urine. It just accelerates your death. And you could probably drink the first pass of urine. Yeah, and I've learned that in desert survival classes. The first pass you can drink. You can filter through a cactus or something like that. But after that, there's just too much contaminants in it. And you're going to shut your kidneys down. You're going to cause all kinds of problems. And, you know, unless it's Water World and you have something you can pee in and it filters and it comes out, which I'm not aware of, drinking urine is not an option. Although it's been used for mouthwash and all kinds of things throughout history. Cleopatra would bathe in it and stuff. It's not intended to go through your system after it's been out. You know, they used it as a antiseptic during the Civil War. You know, they would use fresh urine, not urine that stands. They would use urine to clean wounds and things like that. I don't recommend it. Definitely don't recommend it. I mean, they used to use leeches too, and bleeding and bloodletting. I get all these people all the time that come to me, and we'll wait here. We don't have to get to the news articles right away. If you drink a tablespoon of kerosene every day, you'll never get, you know, and they'll give me a list of diseases. I go, well, you're probably not going to get those anyway. Yeah, radioactive waste, why not? It'll kill what ails you. But, you know, everything from vinegar to all the other things, yeah, if they've been explored, but they're... You know, these primitive cures and stuff need to be explored. Yes, I love those kind of things. But definitely drinking your urine is not an option. Stacy just walked in the room eating a cookie, and she's looking like, you're talking about drinking urine? Yeah, Lou got on the air and said that he drank his urine once, and it tastes better when you run it through a solar still.
Oh, ew.
Of course it was frozen.
Yeah, it was frozen. You made like a popsicle. What is this? Yeah, I don't even want to go there. I'm not eating a yellow snow cone ever again. Yeah.
That show.
Yeah, I can't say the name of the show.
Like
that show on MTV where they did that. Didn't taste anything like lemon, you jerks. But in the news. Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to get it here. I like this one. 8 surprising items that set off security alarms. Those of you that are traveling this holiday season, no, Christmas season, I find it insane that they would put an article out like this, because I know what's going to happen. People are going to monkey wrench this thing and they're going to throw it in there. Things that show up on their stuff. And this one's obvious. Aluminum foil wrappers. Nothing escapes the metal detecting prowess of airport security systems. Not even something as minuscule as a foil wrapper. Many manufacturers of chewing gum, candy, and cigarettes have caught on and made their transition from metallic wrap to paper. But the holdouts that can put a kink in your smooth passage through the airport checkpoints are those that still use foil, like Hershey Kisses. Hershey candy bars, I think, are still. Empty your pockets of any and all offending foil before passing through a metal detector. I think it's funny. Foil's great. It's used as chaff. They make radar targets out of them. I used to get 3 or 4 hefty trash bags, fill them up full of helium, and take huge sheets. What is he chewing on?
No.
Ruger the Wonder Dog got a new toy, and he's chewing on it. I don't know if you guys can hear it. Sounds like rats trying to come in through the wall. We would make our own radar targets by hanging sheets of aluminum foil, and we'd float them up over Norton Air Force Base when I lived down there. And they'd scramble jets. They'd do all kinds of stuff. And then I started using white trash bags and painting evil faces on them, and people would report UFOs. You put day glow sticks in them, you know, the glow sticks. Boom, crack them open. Let those bags go. Aluminum foil gets picked up easy, and the littlest flake of it will do it. So be advised, if you're going to go through these checkpoints, if you want to have fun with them, wrap everything you own in foil. Wrap your socks in foil. You just want to make a little protest. I think that would be funny. Of course, they may take you out and beat you, but don't blame me. Now, this next one, I'm not even sure I had heard about these before, but retractable keys. Most screeners have been around long enough to gauge the threat level of familiar items such as keys, but retractable keys, the kind that pop out at the press of a button, can look like small knives on an X-ray image, and when they're extended, I don't even know what these are. Are there switchblade? We take that away from him. It's really distracting me. He's trying to eat it. They must put like dog nip in it. It's not the type of item that's guaranteed to get you pulled aside, but to be on the safe side, they recommend that retracting the keys before you send them down the X-ray. I wouldn't say retracting. I think I say extend them. Conveyor belt. That way they can see that it's a key. That's just bizarre to me. I've never even heard of that, Headbands. I like this one. Headbands. This is the 1970s again. Why they catch attention, even though headbands like bulky clothing and hats are not prohibited, sporting them may lead to additional screening. I mean, if you're going to look like a Palestinian wearing the track suit, with the white stripe down the side, with the headband and the little wrist, like you're just about to go play some tennis or run, may draw attention to you. The reason is simple. Metal constitutes the frames of many headbands. See, I don't know if they're talking about like the kind of hat band that a dealer in Vegas would wear. Or are they talking about like the ones women wear? It's kind of a weird headbands that'll trigger their detectors. They tell you to put your hair accessories in the tray, just like you would a belt. You know, take off your belt and you put it in there. So if you're going through with your best, looking 1970s, what would be Olivia Newton John workout outfit? I guess they, and I don't understand that. It must be talking about like the tennis headbands. Good there. Oh, I like this one. Small alcohol bottles. You know, those little ones they give you when you get on the plane? I guess if you're a hardcore flyer, you're going to bring your own. Now, the TSA is naturally more focused on detecting potential explosives than in analyzing the contents of your personal minibar. But when it comes to liquors, the rules are based on size and packaging. Respectively, alcohol must be in less than 3.4-ounce bottles in an original container and contained in a one-quart-sized zip-top bag. As long as you follow the 3-1-1 requirement for liquids, you should be okay. What if you bring a Magnum on? Maybe you bring a big old Magnum of like champagne or something on. Do people bring alcohol on planes? I don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, no.
Is it because it's so expensive on the plane? Is it they charge a lot for alcohol on the planes or something? I don't know.
Well, you think they would?
Lou, do you bring your alcohol on the plane when you fly? In the Pakistani diplomatic tote that you bring? Yeah, Lou has applied for Pakistani diplomatic immunity. I just think he's going to bring a lot of undue attention on us, but he saw it in a Dogbert cartoon. Or what is that called? Dilbert? Yeah, so he wants to become a Pakistani diplomat, and he wants to be able to go back and forth to Karachi.
Eat their own tickets.
Yeah, and make police officers eat their own parking tickets. I think you're going to get in a little more trouble. He did it without telling me. He sent it off to the State Department, and I don't even think you're old enough to be a diplomat, but who knows. He wants to get plates for his limo and stuff so he can park in front of the UN. Now, this next one really got me. Snow globes. Bringing snow globes on a plane will get you strip searched. Don't expect to get onto the plane with a snow globe. Believe it or not, the liquid contents of most crystal balls surpass the 3.4-ounce limit and consequently are not allowed as carry-ons. So don't go buying snow globes for all those relatives you don't know and don't like, because that's usually who you buy them for. In fact, back in October, an abandoned package containing a snow globe appeared so suspicious that it caused the evacuation of Bradley International Airport in Connecticut. Well, it's Connecticut. There's no way around it. Snow globes need to be checked into your luggage. They're just UPS. I'm home.
What, they think it's explosive?
Yeah, it looks like a big, you know, those little picture of Mount Rushmore in there.
Or a Santa.
Yeah, a little Santa snow. You know, you got Frosty in there with liquid. Who knows?
Whatever those glitter things.
Now, here's a chia pet. I don't know if I have to get down the list and see if chia pets are on here. Now, inhalers. Inhalers. I'm not talking about your scuba tank, Lou.
No,
as an aerosol product, some inhalers are a cause for concern because at first glance, they may seem to violate the 3-1-1 rule for liquids, gels, and aerosols, limits of 3.4-ounce packed in one-quart size see-through Ziploc top bag. Of course, given that these objects are a medical item for some people and some travelers, they are exempt from restriction. Now, but if you don't declare them and you go through them within your pockets, they're going to be on you, you know. Well, like TSA guys on a fat chick. To avoid unwanted questioning, you're advised to inform the officer, hey, I'm a Weezer, and I got this Weezer thing here. You want to come check it? You know, maybe inhale it in front of them so they don't, you know, because all it is steroids, isn't it? From what I understand, you're inhaling steroids to open your airway, different medications to keep your airway open. Now, this next one, Lou, I think you better pay attention to this. Because you're 15 now and your body's starting to change. The TSA swears that underwire bras shouldn't be an issue. But we've heard plenty of tales from women and at least one cross-dresser who insists that the metal in the underwire bra has triggered a secondary wanding, no kidding, after passing through the metal detector. In some cases, a rogue underwire has even led to a closer inspection by a female agent in a private room. That must have been weird when they had the weirdo in there that's a cross-dresser. That must have just been freaky. You know, they send a woman in, and they're, like, checking, and next thing you know, they're like, oh, I need a male officer in here. The answer is then maybe to pack the metallic lingerie in your checked bags and sport more comfortable models while in flight. Personally, I use a women's sports bra when I fly, so as not to draw attention. But that's just me. So it sounds to me like it's just an attempt by these disgusting... Are we still on, though? I just heard a weird crunchy sound go through my headphones. These perverts that work for the TSA is, you know, oh, underwire bra. Oh, I need to check that. Now, this next one, Lou will have no problem with this because he just hates this. This is the last one. Peanut butter. Now, everything on Earth can be categorized as a liquid, gas, or solid, except maybe lava and peanut butter. It's doubtful you'll be packing lava in your purse, Lou. But what about peanut butter? It's certainly not a liquid. You could hold it upside down for a decade, and it would never drop. But anything that can conform to the shape of its container, I love how they come up with these definitions, such as cold creams, toothpaste, and yes, peanut butter, can upset the swift flow of the security line.
If you coat it on the inside of your purse.
Coated up. Well, it's still taking the form of your container, Lou. It would be shaping the size of the shape of your purse.
What if it was the same color as the...
Well, then you'd try to be deceptive, and they'd catch you for that. You'd probably go to prison. They want you to plan ahead, pack conformable liquids in the bags you'll be checking. Peanut butter sandwiches, on the other hand, are perfectly fine, Lou. Peanut butter and crackers, those types of things, they have to be on the crackers. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Now, this is just eight things, but I'm thinking... Wouldn't it just be funny if, you know, thousands of people wrapped their jars of peanut butter in aluminum foil, you know, hid their, you know, foldable keys inside their underwire bras, and everybody did that. And everybody's like, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't. You'll draw attention. How many of them are there? Stop pulling on that, Lou. It's making noise. How many of them are there? How many? What if everybody suddenly went through with snow globes, the snow globe revolt? How can they say that's terrorist activity? If everybody who got on a plane had a snow globe in their carry-on, what kind of statement would that make? I ask you. I ask you very heartily and seriously, isn't that something that we should be looking to do? I think it's a great idea. I think we should have the great snow globe revolt at the Christmas of 2010. And if I were to fly, I can't because I'm on the no-fly list, but if I were to send my family somewhere, I would give them snow globes and just make a big deal out of it. Like, you're kidding me. I can't get on with my Frosty the Snowman snow globe. I can't get on with my Independence Hall snow globe. I can't get on. Get Barack Obama snow globes. They've got to be out there.
Yeah.
We've got to get like Barack Obama doing Kwanzaa in the back, you know, yard of the White House or something, and get everybody, you know, just start handing them out like Hare Krishnas. Be there. Here's your snow globe. Thank you very much. And it's a Barack Obama's big bobblehead in there or something. Or, you know, anything that's got metal in it that's Barack Obama. If everybody started bringing Barack Obama dolls, they have Barack Obama snow globes. I thought so. It's a snow globe keychain. What's in it, Lou? Post the link in the room. Lou's looking it up for us. And I think that would be a great little way to protest this just massive stupidity. I mean, am I wrong here? Am I completely wrong here? Am I just nitpicking? But isn't this ridiculous?
Yes, I agree with you. That is insane.
And they want to extend this to trains and buses.
Peanut butter. I
thought it was going to be peanut butter because people can be allergic to it and somebody may have anaphylactic shock. Well, you know, if you find out the stewardess or the pilot, you can, like, threaten to make them do what you want with the plane if you stick a peanut butter cracker under their nose. It's a musical Obama snow globe? Well, that's just fantastic.
Insane.
Thank you, Lou. Yeah, a Kenyan in a snow globe. A Kenyan Christmas. That's what it would be. A Muslim Kenyan Christmas. Oh, and if you could find, like, little... Somebody needs to make, like, little wind-up hopping, like, toys of Muhammad. Maybe that would be fun if everybody tried to sneak one on. But there wouldn't be enough holding cells. There wouldn't be enough judges. If the millions of people that are going to fly... If it's true that all these people are waking up... People keep telling me, hey, Dutch, don't be depressed. America's waking up. They all want to take part in this. Okay, let's have a snow globe revolt. Forget about the tea bags and all that, Joe. How can they say a snow globe's racist?
Yeah.
How can I be racist? We got a Kenyan Muslim president. I think it would be fantastic if you guys would just do that for me. Everybody's flying, you know, go to that website. I can't. What's the link? It's huge, Lou. Oh, it's on eBay. How many are available? One? You got like one of them? We need to find, like, a massive source for these snow globes and give them to everybody you know that's going to fly home and don't tell them about this. If you got relatives coming you don't like, slip a Obongo snow globe into their carry on, and just wait for the hilarity to take place.
I got strip searched because I had that stupid snow globe thing, but it wasn't even mine. I didn't even know where it came from.
Just the absurdity of what they're doing now, of everything that they're doing and planning and the stuff that they're taking away. I mean, this is the TSA is the epitome of it. And if everybody is as angry as they say they are, I watched Glenn Beck today and he said, America's waking up. They're angry. They're in the streets. Okay, fine. Prove it. Let's do this little passive resistance thing. But they won't do it. They wouldn't even do the sit down on the travel day for Thanksgiving, would they? They were scared to death. They gave in to the fear. Huh? There's a short link there. It's a... Oh, boy. It all went downhill when they outlawed the metal-tipped lawn darts. Bad fag, you hit it right on the head there. Jarts. Lawn jarts.
Oh, I miss those.
Yeah, we were trying to explain them to Lou.
Me and my mom would play
too. Yeah, we'd, I'd go after cows with those things. But you can sharpen them up with a grinder. Oh, they're lethal. They were like mortar for us in yard-to-yard battle, yard darts. But, okay, that's it. You know, I'm not asking you to get arrested. I'm asking you just to make them haul off a bunch of Obongo head snow globes. Wouldn't it be funny? Maybe I got a warped sense of humor. I don't know. But I'd love to see people push back. I'm not seeing people push back. Next article I wanted to talk about, a judge in, I think it was Virginia, said that the portion of the Obongo medical bill that says everybody in America has to have it is unconstitutional, and therefore he voided it, but it's going to go to the next higher, it'll go to the whatever district court it is there. And everybody's all excited and saying this sends a message to Obongo. No, nobody's pushing back. Nobody's pushing back. And the idiots on Yahoo are saying, well, this me, how can that not be illegal? I'm forced to get auto insurance. Well, two things there. One, auto insurance requires you to do something that you've already contracted to do with a government agency and use their roads and all that. You may say the roads belong to you, but no, they really don't. You've given up that freedom, and you've decided to get a license, so therefore it's a privilege that they've given you because you've surrendered the right. And secondly, that's a state issue. As far as I know, there are no federally mandated auto insurance laws. They're all state issues. So this does make constitutional sense, and it's a federal judge that's supposedly a conservative, and you know he just attacked the one issue. He didn't go after the whole plan. He just said, well, on its face, it can't be instated because you can't force people to purchase something. So that's great. But where are the people in the streets on this one? I mean, whenever they have some counter-left Fabian socialist thing, they get a couple hundred thousand people in the streets. And they do it every time. It seems like they every time they flush the toilet, they can get 250,000 people to show up. We can't do it on our side. I don't know. And then people make jokes like, well, our guys are too busy working to support everybody else. No, that's not true. Nobody's working right now. I don't know anybody that's working full time. I don't know. Is there anybody in the chat room that's working full time? So we what we're lacking is a good leader. We don't have a good leader. You know, you had what was his name? Glenn Beck going out and doing his, Reclaim America tour. Lou, don't fall asleep. Sit up. Lou's laying down and falling asleep, putting his feet on our pillows again. Get up. Get up. Get up, stinky footed, sleepy head. And they can always rally people to their cause. This thing that happened today, it's funny. I read about it a couple hours after it happened. It should have been all over the news. It should have been, hey, this is great. Somebody slapped Obongo in the face. No, nobody's, they're not, because they know it's got to go all the way to the Supreme Court. It's going to take about 2 years, and who knows what's going to be on the Supreme Court then. And like I said, it's just like the Arizona law. It doesn't matter if it's legal, lawful, just, or righteous. The courts mean nothing anymore. The courts mean absolutely nothing. So that's why I didn't get too excited about this. People are like, oh, great, a great victory. But I think it's funny that somebody did slap him in the face. He'll probably end up dead in 2 inches of water in a gutter somewhere. You know, he'll never have drank in his life, and they'll say he was drunk. Maybe they'll incorporate Obamacare into porn scanners. You'll be able to get screened or colon, prostate, and breast cancer all in one shot. Filling you up for lumps and x-rayed too. Who said that? Olima said that. Thank you, Olima. It's sick but true. They'll just hook those scanners into the national medical system. And I knew there was a joke there somewhere, but I couldn't put it together. So, Olima, thank you, even though I butchered what you wrote, because I'm turning my head and squinty-eyed reading it across the room. Yeah, it's just it's a joke, but it's true. They want to put everything together into one big control system. Every valve, every sensor, every doorway. It's just like being in prison, right? They have to buzz you in, buzz you out. They control the food you eat. And meanwhile, you've got other nations that are falling apart right now, and they're testing all the mechanisms because they want to make sure they get it right before they come to America. I got some good news. Montana, a holdout for liberty and freedom, Chuck Baldwin's new state, has contacted our pastor, Warren Mark Campbell. I don't know if I told you guys this on Friday. Did I tell you this on Friday? Can't remember if I told you this on Friday or not. Pastor Warren Mark Campbell will be in Montana January 2nd or 3rd. I'm not too clear on it. And he will be speaking before the assembly in the House of the state of Montana, speaking on oaths and covenants in their, you know, getting their session ready. They want to have a Christian basis. They ask other pastors to come in there, and this year they've asked, they usually ask patriotic pastors from the Black Robe Regiment, and it's his turn, and he's going to be able to speak on oaths and covenants. And it's great because we've been studying the Mayflower Compact, and it's right up his alley, of course, being a patriot pastor and a historical aware pastor. And he's going to get to speak to legislators and hundreds of guests that will be allowed in on this inaugural session. You know, it's kind of like when they swear in the new guys that won in November, ladies. Chuck Baldwin will be there in attendance, which is kind of funny. Maybe they didn't know Chuck Baldwin was moving into their state, but he'll probably be doing it next year. He'll probably become the chaplain if the state stays good, which I have no doubt that it will. But just more and more emphasis on Montana, folks. More and more emphasis on people moving and what's the, I almost said coagulating. That's not the word I wanted. What's the word? You know, meeting together, grouping up. We're trying to do it here, well, not here, but at the church at Cahuilla in the Commonwealth of Cahuilla, so we can have little islands of liberty. But Montana may be the main one. Montana, Idaho, the Dakotas, everybody, it's happening, folks. It's happening right now. I hope you feel like you're part of something. I hope you feel like you're in this stream of liberty. I try to involve you in it. That's the biggest thing I try to do with this, to make you feel like you are part of something that God has done great in this nation. Even though the nation may be no more, that doesn't mean that God's will won't be done in this cause. It's not about me. It's not about the pastor. It's not about Chuck Baldwin. Definitely not about me. So make certain that you don't forget. What is this song? Shake it loose. Oh, this is the TSA song. We're going to go on a break. We'll be back with Liberty Tree Radio, talk about a few more news articles, and we'll go through a list of items that we suggest you have in your bug-out bag. We'll be right back on Dutch Jones radio program on the, what do we decide to call it? The Stronghold Radio Network.
Inside your thighs, up your legs and out of sight. But you can trust the TSA to help you make it to your flight. We don't profile that be wrong. Just ask the ACLU. We'd rather check your nooks and crannies, every inch of you. They got no life except my job, but I don't mind that it's alright. I get to grope you legally if you wanna take flight. This badge and uniform we wear, well, it might look like a rent-a-cop, but your life is in our hands. We like it that way, especially if your heart is awful lonely being me. No girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. So let me squeeze you, ooh, right there, if you wanna take a flight. You can trust the TSA.
You'll be in our dreams tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention.
World order, a
new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Why is no one else asking these questions?
See, I take objection at that, Mr. Beck. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. This is Monday the 13th of December. Is there bad luck for Monday's the 13th? I know Friday the 13th. I don't believe in bad luck. And we are coming to you from somewhere in the... Is this the San Joaquin Valley? I always mess that up. San Joaquin Valley area. We're not in our stronghold. We're not broadcasting from the Stronghold Radio Network headquarters. We're mobile in a remote area. Hooked up through whatever we could get for Wi-Fi, and we're having fun. And I want to welcome you, especially our Liberty Tree radio listeners, and thank you, Ed, for tuning us in. I'm not in the chat room. I'm turned the other way just because the way the computer setup is. I have to look around and do stuff. And we're bringing you the Christian Militant Worldview. We share with you on Tuesdays, Code 20, with Steve Klein, a Marine captain retired who is fighting the good fight against Islam. Thursdays, we bring you Pastor Warren Mark Campbell with Practical Christianity. Now, a note about him I just mentioned on the last hour on our network, but I will share it with our friends at Liberty Tree Radio. Pastor Warren Mark Campbell will now be speaking on January 2nd or 3rd, I haven't solidified the date yet with him, to the Montana legislature, the joint session between the House and the Assembly, and the subject of his speech that he's been asked from them to give, I think they have their own full-time chaplain, and he brings in pastors, patriotic pastors, will be oaths and covenants, which is perfect because we've been studying like the Mayflower Compact and the Constitution and those kind of things. Everything okay, Lou? And it's really good. So if you're listening up in Montana and you can make it to Helena, Montana, and I'm pretty sure it was the 3rd. He's going to leave on the 2nd and get there on the 3rd in Helena, Montana. And Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who moved to Kalispell, will be there. He won't be speaking, but he will be there giving support to our pastor. And I think it's a great opportunity for the church at Kauia, for the Christian militants that are out there. We militia members that follow no king but King Jesus, that a militia leader, a church leader of a non-501c3 church has been asked to speak in the halls of state government like that. It's just, it's amazing. So if you've listened to them the last two Sundays, which we got, we're getting lots of feedback on it. People love it. I haven't gotten any negative yet. So that's okay. Not that it's not out there. But if you're up there in Montana, you know, find out. It's going to be open to the public. You can sit up in the mezzanine and whatever they call it there, and you'll be able to hear his speech. It's going to be amazing. And we're you know, pride's bad, but good pride is good, right? You know, false pride. I'm really proud to know that Pastor Walmart Campbell will have another avenue to get his message out, especially to people who need it, people that make decisions on the state level, which will probably end up being a new nation anyway, right? Montana's going to end up being another nation when this whole thing falls apart. I was watching Glenn Beck today, and he was on there, you know, he's acting like he's the only guy on a soapbox out there, like there hasn't been, you know, the Corn Keys or even that other guy named Jones that talks about stuff hasn't been screaming about the New World Order for decades. It really got to me. I sent off an email to him he'll never see about, you know, either you're ignorant or arrogant. I don't know which one it is. You know, he needs to know that he stands on the shoulders. Where did all this information come from? The blood, sweat, and sacrifice of many others. Not Glenn Beck. No, not Glenn. Glenn Beck hasn't sacrificed anything as far as I can tell right now. I forgot to turn the audio back up for you in case you want to play something. It's just strange that he actually thinks he's the only one out there in the darkness doing this. It's weird to me. And it really annoys me. But people are telling me it's a good thing. I even have people at my own church saying, well, it's a good thing. He's out there spreading the word, and people are waking up, and it's okay. Well, if that's the effect, then God can even use an idiot, I guess, you know, to do a good thing.
Shut up.
He needs to come on the show again sometime. I remember when he called that one time and ambushed me at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And he just completely went nuts telling me about the stuff that he's done.
Are there little people that live in this phone?
Is that really turned up all the way, Lou?
Yes.
Wow, let me turn it up more here. Are you there, Mr. Beck?
Yes or no?
What is it you like to do? I don't know which soundboard you're on. Is this the one where he talks about what he likes to do in his spare time?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you like to do in your spare time, Mr. Beck? Now Lou's trying to find it. Let's make this smooth, Lou. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Mr. Beck, could you tell me what you do in your spare time?
Hire a prostitute, have sex with her, and then beat her to death with a baseball bat.
Wow. Wow. You have some pretty strange hobbies over there in Utah. Didn't he live in Utah? I think he's a Mormon.
The Netherlands?
I don't know. Oh, he's in the Netherlands? Well, everything's free in the Netherlands. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But because of what Beck has been doing, I'm getting like... you know, people who don't listen to the show, who type in survival in Google, and they get to the site, and they're going nuts. I'm getting email from people, you know, oh, I've never listened to your show. What do I need to know? And I'm like, listen to the show, and listen to Liberty Tree Radio, listen to the other people that we're going to have on here. You know, go to survivalblog.com, and you'll be able to do it. Well, the site's been down. I don't know if it's because we got a bazillion hits by people just checking us out or malicious. I really don't know. But DutchJones.info is back up.
That's great.
DutchJones.info. And on there we have some lists, and I tell them to go to the list, and I'm going to share those with you. The basic two-person, I can't say two-man, that's sexist, survival kit. This was submitted and worked on between me and Dixie Man over 2 years ago now. Almost three, and Dixie Man has since passed to cancer. He was one of the founding listeners of this show when we were just doing Shoutcast and literally on MySpace when I was found a way to put up audio on. I set up a recording artist face for MySpace, and I would do like 20 minutes of a show a day, like an audio blog, and he was one of the first listeners, a Confederate, a patriot, a good old boy, and he died of cancer earlier this year, and he's very missed. But the list that he put together is just very comprehensive, and I like it. And we're going to go over this. This is for your bug out bag. This is for two people. I mean, it's just as easy to pack for two as it is for one, but it's harder to carry for two. You understand what I'm saying? So this is something that you might put in the trunk of your car, have by the back door, in a closet by the front door, whatever. I don't care if you put it in a big red duffel bag or you put it in, you know, the biggest backpack you got. But this is your get out of dodge bag. Those of you that have read Patriots, you know what I'm talking about. And it's just something that, if nothing else, if you can't get to everything and you got little warning, this is your last go-to thing. Other than your personal gear that you wear on yourself or you have stashed everywhere, this is your last line of defense, as far as I'm concerned. The first thing that we put in there, and this can, this people are going to say, but this sounds more like what happens if I get separated while hunting. Well, okay. Then you use it for that. Then we say, what would I want that for in there? One signal mirror, 3 by 5 inch. You know, if you want to see this, you can go to the website. You don't have to write this stuff down. Signal mirrors can be seen from great distances away, huge distances away. And you may say, but I'm trying, you know, if I'm in a martial law situation, I don't want to be found. Well, you might not be in a martial law situation. Plus, you might also need them to signal friendly forces if you have pre-designated signaling periods and locations. And the cool thing about a signal mirror, you can kind of control where it goes. Not like a signal fire or a flare, but a signal mirror, you can reflect to a certain peak every half hour while you're approaching that peak to let your comrades know with a pre-designated signal that, hey, you're coming in. Now, signal mirrors are usually the polished steel, and they have the hole in the center so you can aim them. It's okay if it's a compact, whatever. You know, you get what you pay for. If you have the resources and the time, get what's best. Two whistles. Now, if you've read Patriots, you know that there's a use for whistles tactically. There's also a use for whistles survivor-wise. One whistle for each person in our house, huh, babe? We actually have multiple whistles. We got green ones, we got orange ones, we stash them all over the place. They're real good for your kids to have in case they're out wandering and, you know, and there's some, they're aggressed by animals. And you they can hear you yell, but their voices don't carry, and they start wailing on that whistle. Great idea. So two whistles. But that's in the signaling group. You know, notice I didn't go like walkie-talkies or anything like that. That's extra. Emergency device group. Now, one knife, fixed blade, with a 4 to 6 inch drop point, plain edge with sheath. Nothing fancy, just a survival knife. If you were listening in the first hour, I told you what happened this weekend when we went to butcher some turkeys, and the guy broke his $180 knife in half. Get a knife that you know is going to work. Test it. Work with it so that when you go to use it, it doesn't let you down and cut your hand. So 4 to 6 inch, you know, it's something that you can sharpen. Learn how to sharpen it. I've gotten to the point where I can sharpen knives now using, you know, the idiot sharpening systems. But learn how to do it with a whetstone. Find somebody that knows how to do it and have them train you. One multi-tool tool with locking blades and tools. Gerber, what are some of the, Schrade, everybody has their favorite. I'm a Gerber guy, it's what I've always had, it's what I'll always use. But one multi-tool plier, at least per two people. I prefer everybody has one on their belt. There's one on my belt right now. We gave one to, keep giving Lou these different ones and he keeps misplaced. Where's your multi-tool right now? Where at the house? Do you know where it is? It's on the windowsill by your bed, right. Should always know where it is. I'd rather he had it with him, but I've got mine. Plus, we've got needle nose and other stuff laying around in the car. One knife sharpener, preferably one that you're comfortable with using, and fitted for your knife. I've got one survival knife that's real thick, high carbon steel, and those store-bought ones that you put the wedge through, it won't even get to the edge. So I have to have a stone that sticks in the, I actually put it in the sheath, and that's what I use for that. And a knife, the thing with your knife, and if Minuteman's in the chat room, he can add in all the stuff he wants too, because he teaches this class on survival too, so he'll have some input to help the people in the chat room. So I don't just ask you or allow you to do it, I demand you do it, Minuteman. Help them out in the chat room, because I can't see it while I'm doing this. You need to know what a knife is for. Like over the weekend, we had a guy try to chop the head off a turkey with a Bowie knife when a hatchet would have been more suitable. Know what your knife is for. Don't use your survival knife for digging holes or anything like that. You should have an entrenching tool or maybe another knife for that. Keep one knife special. Make a special knife that you don't use for everything. And that seems, I see it in all the different trainings. They're like, use your knife for this, use your knife for that. But when you really need it, it won't be sharp, especially if you need it for self-defense. But have one knife dedicated for survival and then one knife for, you know, skinning and game. And a little tiny pocket knife, a little tiny buck knife, a little tiny, you know, Schrade or I'm trying to think of all the different older companies that would make them. For skinning animals is a nice thing to have, too. A survival saw. Now, everybody hits me up. Well, I like the Gator. I like the Gerber. I like the one with the little rings and stuff. Whatever works for you. A survival saw that you trust, that you're willing to carry in your pack. You should have one of those. Great for making shelter, building man traps, building animal traps. You don't know how long you're going to be on the lam. You may have to build a really good structure. So think about that when you're picking out a survival straw. Generally, those little cable saws with the key rings on the end, I hate them. On my Gerber tool, I have a saw on there. I've used that to cut pretty large limbs, enough to make shelters with. You know, I'm not talking firewood quality stuff, but I've made shelters using nothing but my Gerber tool. You know, I can notch it, I can split stuff with it, I can do all kinds of things with it. So that's good there. One compass, and I don't care if it's a military Lensatic compass or a Girl Scout compass, as long as it actually holds an azimuth, it isn't one of those little bobbles that you hook on your keychain or something you get off the dash of a car. It has to be a decent compass that you can use for navigating, orienteering in trees or through where terrain where you can't find landmarks. And you have to know how to use it. Take the time to figure it out. There's enough videos out there. There's enough classes out there. There's enough Boy Scout manuals on orienteering, military manuals. I can't remember the field manual number for it. I'm sure we have it in our list of field manuals on the website for orienteering. If not, we'll get one up there that you can download and study. You've got to know how to use a compass. I mean, one of the times we had one of our trainings, and everybody break out their compass, and no one knew how to use it. There were eight of us there. And I said, well, what's this for? What's this do? Do you know how to shoot it? So I showed everybody. I guarantee if I go back, it's been about 6 months. It'll be 6 months because that was in June. And they won't know how to do it. So you've got to refresh. You've got to continue to do it. I found Marine lieutenants that didn't know how to use their compasses. Because it's a perishable skill. You know, if you're going to go out and shoot, use your compass too. Have fun with it. Come up with land nav competitions. Come up with spotting things on hillsides by using azimuths from a known point. Do some classroom stuff, you know, with how to use your map and a compass. How to do pace counting. All that stuff needs to be known. You just, so many patriots today that I run into, and maybe it's because I'm just, you know, I'm kind of like at a gateway level. You know, I don't have this huge militia around me. I'm meeting all these people that go buy all the gear and they don't know how to use it. They're dedicated enough to spend the money and sacrifice that kind of stuff. But then when you say, hey, come on up and train, they don't show up. A tool is only as good as it is. How can I put this? A tool's no use to you if you don't know how to use it. Are you telling me to look in there? Okay, I'm coming over here. Look. Excuse me. Oh, I got kicked off. I gotta get back in the room. Excuse me, guys. Let me refresh. You don't put your fingers through the saw rings. You put sticks through the saw rings and then grab the sticks. Yeah. You use them like a garrote. I've used them actually putting my thumbs through them and working it, on big gloves, and I haven't had a hard time with it. Oh, wow. There's very little delay. Okay. Let's see here. I'm back in there. I can't see anything that was typed now because I got bumped out of the room, but now I'm back in the room, guys. Wow. Look who's in there. Scotty, welcome. Warlin, welcome. Guest, welcome. Ed, Batfag, Minuteman, Olima, the whole gang's here. But yeah, you could put dowels or sticks through it. Or I've even seen people take parachute cord, put them through them to extend it. Because they always go, it's this little tiny thing and I have to bend way over. Well, if you put parachute cord with it, you can stand up and stand on a log and cut right through the log. You know, you got to be smarter than your tools. Good point, though. Let me get back to my list here. So you got compass. Waterproof, windproof matches. It says two on our list, but two boxes. And not just, you know, you can get the military paper matches that come with the MREs if they still make those. I don't even know if you get those anymore, but I've collected tons of them. I always get them when I see them for sale. But we just get Strike Anywhere matches, dip them in wax. You know, you just get a candle going, get the wax, and just put the tips in them and stick them in little cylinders. Shorten them down, put them in old film canisters. Whatever you got to do. You don't have to go buy the expensive stuff, but have matches. I always love people who say, well, I need to know how to make a fire doing the old Indian bow or the fire trough method. Why not just make sure you got four different ways of making fire with matches or lighters? Go out of your way. It's good to have those skills, but especially in a tactical situation, you really want to focus all your attention on making the fire, or do you want to throw one match in a little tiny Dakota hole and have your tactical fire ready to go instead of spending an hour trying to make fire? We use magnesium igniters. We use, you know, all kinds. We get fire metal matches. I think on my tactical gear, I got like six different ways to make fire. 9-volt batteries, steel wool, the whole deal. Lou uses his laser eyes, you know, because he's from Krypton. His real name's Kal-El. But he, you know, have different ways to make fire. So you can have the flint. Make sure you have tinder with that. Enough tinder to start 6 fires is recommended per person. And what's tinder? Well, lint from your dryer. Practice with papers. Like people have told me, you know, oh, well, I just use envelopes. Some envelopes are fire resistant. Some commercial grade papers are made fire resistant to go through the postal system. Not all. I'm not an expert on it, but I'm just telling you what my experience has been because I have experience. We have a stove. We heat our house with wood fire, so I try different materials all the time. You'd be surprised what's really flammable and what's not. Toilet paper is like flash paper. It's gone, at least the toilet paper we use. And we don't buy the cheapest either. We buy decent stuff, and it's like, woof, it's gone. You want something that's going to burn at a slow enough rate that it generates enough heat that it ignites the secondary kindling that you've collected in your area. And making a fire should always be small to big. I just love it when you see guys get like 8-10 logs up, and then they try and light a log on the bark side. You're not going to learn this unless you practice it. Find a way, if you don't have a fireplace, get a little pie tin and practice in your backyard. Make fire in your backyard every week. And like Minuteman suggests, go out in a high wind and a rainstorm and try and make fire. We carry little camp stoves that can, you know, you can start a fire, and once you get them going, you know, in a decent downpour, if you keep at least the stove covered, they're not going to go out as long as you keep feeding it. Learn how to make the Dakota fire hole. Tinder survival candles. Have decent candles, not cheap dollar store candles. They'll crumble in your pack. Survival candles, great for all kinds of things. They're a great heat source in a snow cave. You can cook over a candle if you have to. You can cut someone's finger off and barbecue it. Now, that was a movie we saw over the weekend. You can do what you got to do, but have a decent candle. I get the little tea candles, and I tape them up because they crumble and fall apart. What are those called? The tea light candles?
Yeah.
All over my pack. Because, you know, they just got to burn for a few hours for me. I don't need light all night. Fishing kit. Now, we wrote in there mostly for entertainment on our list, but if you learn how to use it before you need it, it won't just be for entertainment. It will be to gather food. We've tested ours up here, some string and a stick and one weight, and even candy wrappers instead of bait, and we catch fish. Anything that's brightly colored that glints in the stream, we've caught fish. Our lovely little daughter, Anthea, caught a dozen fish one day with a hook with no bait on it.
It was
a shiny hook. We have different colored hooks. In fact, in the we have these kits that we give away to the refugees that we won't let into our facility because we don't know them. There's fish hooks and fish string and weights in there. And then, you know, they have to, you know, they can go get grubs, or they could just do like a little bit of aluminum foil, throw it on there. You can make a lure. You know, it's easy to catch fish where we are. It may not be easy where you are. You may not be in a climate that, but we could live off bluegill and crappie all day long, and trout. And weird bass, though. Bass were weird. We didn't eat those. But the trout were great. Stacy grabbed some lemons off of a tree, wrapped them in foil, threw them in the fire pit. Oh, that was so good. Great comfort to get a real nice hot meal, fresh meat, good protein. Put a fishing kit in there. Throw some rubber worms in there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to waste your time digging for worms. What's it going to kill you to go to Walmart?
Yeah.
Go to Wally World. Go to your hardware store, wherever you feel comfortable spending your money, and get one big bulk of fishing stuff, and then break it down into little kits. Go to the dollar store and get some little tins, metal tins, and break it down into 8 or 9 different fishing kits and put it all through your gear. Great way to get food in a post-collapse economy. Now this next one, some people don't like this one, and I would augment what we have on there. I meant to augment it, but I haven't yet. One lithium battery powered LED flashlight with spare batteries. I also say have wind up flashlights. Now, I granted the noise and the yield from doing it, but I hate batteries. I hate having to depend on batteries. I'd rather have something that I can wind up. So we have both. We have battery-operated, extra batteries, but we also each have a wind-up or a magneto-type flashlight in our gear. Light is a luxury, but sometimes it can be a life-saving luxury, can it? Especially if you've got somebody wounded or something, you need to read a map. And make sure you have, and for your flashlight, I would say have filters, red filters for light discipline at night. That means going out and get one of those little angle-head flashlights for $5 that we sell. I don't even know if we have them on the website, but we do sell them. $5 flashlight comes with all the different... It looks like a miniature version of the GI flashlight. Gives me enough light to do what I got to do. Yeah, I'm not going to do a room-to-room clearing with it, but that's not my job. We may have, I got a tactical light right here in front of me, beat up, old, you know, 3-watt, 2, I think it's a 3-watt. I can't find it. It's all worn off on it now. It's beat up because the kids have dropped it, I've dropped it, it's been in the water. And it goes...
Before that.
What do you mean before that? No, it's brand new. He gave me a brand new one. And it's in perfect, you know, working order when it needs to be. But a basic small light's all you need. And then don't forget chem lights. Chem lights are good to have. Different colored chem lights can mean different things for communications, right? This is something that we have in ours. One ripstop nylon tarp. It says 8 foot by 10 foot. We couldn't find an 8 foot by 10 foot. We got a 9 by 9. And we've used it for a tent. Ours is camouflage. We got it at Harbor Freight. I don't know if you have Harbor Freights where you live, but it's a Chinese hardware store. 9 foot by 9 foot. We've got 3 or 4 of these things, but we have one in our survival gear. And it's great. We've used it for a lean-to. We've used it as a ground cover. In the summertime, we just slept on it, remember? We just, all 4 of us slept on it. But if we thought it was going to rain, we throw it up in the air. And it's they fold up really nice, and if you're going to split the gear up, you know, 2 wouldn't be bad, but 1's a minimum. 2 poly emergency blankets or emergency bivy sacks, not Mylar. Mylar are the shiny ones, that aren't really good tactically, but if that's all you have, that's what you got. And then have something to cover them with, have a poncho liner to cover them. But these survival blankets are critical in cold areas for maintaining body heat. So everybody should have one of those. Lightweight plastic ponchos, everybody has those. We also have tactical muumuus that I've told you about. The World War II German ponchos, we have those for different climates, different colors. There's white, we have green, and we have brown. But at least one for each person, so that's 2 per this kit. Lightweight plastic ponchos, don't get the cheap ones at the store. They tear, they snag, they make lots of noise. Poncho is one thing that I wouldn't skimp on if I were you guys. Get a decent one. 1 pair of leather work gloves, preferably 2. Everybody should have their own gloves anyway. But in your kit, at least 1 pair of work gloves because you don't know what you're going to be doing. Dealing with barbed wire, moving debris, stuff like that. 2 bandanas. We all have our own bandanas. They're great for medical. They're great for, you know, putting on your head for keeping heat in. You know, all kinds of stuff. So you should have 2 tactical bandanas. Don't go out and get bright red or yellow ones. Unless this is a survival thing and you're camping and you want to use it to signal search aircraft, right? Lou, you're not paying attention to time. So this is just a basic part, and we're going to get into it. I haven't even really... I'm only about halfway through the list. And hopefully you guys are picking this up. People have been saying, I've been doing too much politics, too much religion. Let's get practical again. So this Monday is an answer for those. I try to help everybody that's a listener. If you've taken the time to take time out of your day to listen to me, I want to give you what you need. Now, if you're an old-timer and you're going, hey, I don't need this, this is maybe a reminder to go check your gear. That's what it is. It's a reminder for you to stop relying on your laurels and see what you got. And you never know. I might say something you didn't think of. Not because I'm a genius, but because I listen to 10 other people that tell me what they've got. I didn't make this up. We'll be right back.
And the redcoats had their way. It was he who had a party tossing tea in Boston Bay. It was he who braved the winter in the days of Valley Forge. Fighting side by side together with a fella named George.
Professor Lincoln, he's the Lincoln of the day. If we're fixing for a tussle, it's his muscle all the way. If we need a handsome fella, so the ladies' hearts can throb, there's a Yankee Doodle Dandy, always handy for the job.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention. This is an emergency. Repeat.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I am nothing but an attention-seeking time bomb disaster waiting to happen.
I didn't hear it. And then you cut my music off. Lou, what is it today? Too many Pop-Tarts?
I am nothing but an attention-seeking time bomb, a disaster waiting to happen.
This is the Dutch Jones radio program, a militant Christian worldview, normally coming to you from the stronghold of the Kuya Commonwealth in Central California. Right now we're on the road, and I'd like to thank Liberty Tree Radio for carrying our signal. We appreciate that very, very very much. I like knowing that we're reaching people that know more than I do, and I like the feedback. I just got somebody named Betty who sent me a link down there somewhere in Texas. They're looking, they've got like, what is it, $1 million? They're selling a compound, a stronghold. They heard me use the word stronghold, so they sent this to me. I don't know if Betty owns it or she just saw the ad, but let me hang on a second. Oh, I don't know. You have to go to the chat room to get it. Maybe we'll put a link up on the website. But it's funny, they're asking $1 million. We're not asking for that. We're asking for people to come here and work. We're asking for people who are like-minded, who are Christian men, women, families, to come. We have homes. We have land to farm. We have places to put animals. We're just looking for you to come up and be part of our church and our militia. And put in a couple hours a day or a week or something. And we've got one guy that's thinking. I don't want to say who it is. I don't want to try and make his decision for him. But we've got a family that just checked us out this weekend, and we're rather excited about it. Granted, you're going to not have all the, you know, you'll have running water, stove heat, you know, wood fire heat. You know, they're trailers. They're trailers that we have. And you know, you make of them what you like. And, you're not going to have, you have to have satellite internet. That's been the big, do they have internet? Yeah, I have satellite internet. Oh, no. My kids like to do that Xbox gaming. And they, okay, fine. Have fun in the FEMA camp. I've actually had people say that. I can't move up there because they don't have good internet. There's no programs for my kids. There's no soccer. Well, they're going to be too busy cutting wood to be worrying about youth football or youth soccer. So anyway, if you're interested in that, go to the church at kuia.org off of our site, dutchjones.info. If you're looking for a place to move your family, yes, I know it's California, but we're not California. We're like in the middle of the mountains, and it's 40 miles to the nearest big city, and it's only like 90,000 people, and we're like rednecks here. You know, I don't know what you would call the Christian rednecks. I'm a real redneck. I was a redneck before I was a Christian, but country folk. And if you're interested in it, check it out. Come out for a weekend. I'll show you the property. Go shooting with us, go hunting, something like that. And then plan some vacations. I don't know how much time's left. I really don't, but we got two vacant homes. I think one's a three-bedroom and one's a two-bedroom. I can't remember for sure. But we got land, and we need to farm it. And we've got facilities, sheds, barns that need to be kept up. And that's what the trade-out is. You work. It's not a commune. You know, you work on your own stuff, but there is communal stuff that we do work on, you know. So it's, I guess, not commune, but communal is the wrong word. There's shared stuff, you know, that we got to work on. We got to keep the church looking good. We got to keep the cemetery looking good, you know. Our customers may be dead, but we want to keep it looking nice. So anyway, before we left, we were talking about survival stuff and things like that. So don't forget to go to djstore.tk. Check that out. We've got some gear on there. If you need gear, go to djstore.tk. If you like what you're hearing here today and I've taught you anything or shared with you, make sure you make a donation. Anything's welcome. You make a minimum donation, we send you gifts. We will send you love gifts for your love offerings. And you can do that at DutchJones.info. What are you working on, Stace?
I said we're working on.
No, you got to ship some stuff out for the last donations. Thank you. There's a couple people in the chat room that actually donated in the last week. Yeah, we're having... Stacy's been busy Christmas shopping, let's just be honest. She's trying to make a good Christmas with the little bit we got for the kids. So she didn't get to the post office today. What's it saying in here? There's something?
Yeah,
I watched on National Geographic TV the game wardens going after poachers in California. Yeah, they have their own show here. Not to get off the topic, but we can get off the topic. I think I gave you enough information to get your kit started. We don't have to be all encompassing on the first show. But yeah, there's the game wardens out here. There was a guy telling me they pulled him over for making an illegal U-turn and gave him a $390 ticket. The game wardens are trying to make money, so they're doing more. They're being more proactive. But the difference is, see where we are? The game wardens don't bother us. I'm not saying they're afraid of us. They just don't want to mess with us, because anytime they deal with us, they get dragged through court. Because we get all these law guys. And we just drag. We just had Sheriff Mack come out over some parking or driving issues and testified in court up here the other day. He was in the area for one of the patriots from the valley who had his car taken away for not having a driver's license. And so Sheriff Matt, I mean, just drag it out, fight him. We usually lose. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's just not worth it to him. I've had game wardens come up to me here and they're like, hey, I need to see your fishing license. I'm like, no, you don't. One, private property. Two, I'm fishing to feed my family. I'm not a sport fisherman. Only sport fishermen require. Oh. And where we hunt and stuff, they don't go. So, yeah, but I did see that show. And their biggest thing also is the corporate guys. They go out and they're killing bears to get spleens or something off the bears to send to China. But one of them told this guy that he gave him a ticket for an illegal U-turn the other day. He says, I have more power than any law enforcement in California. Guy riding, you know, high on his own ego. I can't wait to see that guy get into court. Really, you said that? You know, he told me they had more authority than any cop in the state. We've got highway patrolmen that are friends of our church, and I can't wait to tell them what this guy said. You know, I was like, yeah, what's up with this game warden guy? I wouldn't even pull over for him if it had been me. I'd have driven all the way home. Probably would have been ugly, but that's what I wouldn't pull over for a game warden. I'd be like, I'm not hunting. I'm not poaching. I don't have a hunting license on me. You have no authority or jurisdiction over what I'm doing, but, you know, they're deputizing everybody now. They're making everybody a cop, everybody, because it's about fee generation. It's about alternative taxation. It's about robbing you of your resources and giving them to the state to redistribute them among the lowlifes and among the power elite. So, yeah, the game wardens here in California, but that's the same everywhere. I don't know of a state where the game wardens aren't doing this stuff, stepping it up. They're buying them all. They're giving them SWAT team training, all kinds of stuff, because they need every person on the payroll they can get when this thing turns to a shooting war. They want their game wardens, their meter maids, their code compliance officers, their food inspectors. All of them have to be armed. And if you look at their budgets, they're all buying guns. So California is no different than anywhere else. The difference is where we are in California, it's really sparse. And there aren't enough of them here. This isn't Los Angeles. This isn't San Francisco. All these idiots that are up here bothering us, these federal officers, these state guys, or park rangers and stuff, the state park rangers, the BLM rangers, they're all going to be called to the cities when this stuff starts because they don't have enough. And they don't think we're going to do anything out here, which we're not going to do anything, you know, illegal or unlawful or ungodly. But let them try to shut down our road or come in and tell us we can't use our wells. I was telling you guys the Department of Fish and Game for the state has said that the river belongs to them and that they've taken authority that they don't have, is what one of the county board of supervisors said. They just came in and said, we're the Fish and Game is in charge of the river. Well, when these people bought their land up here forever, they were told that you owned the middle of the river. And that's what all their deeds say. Your property goes in the middle of the river. Well, Fish and Game comes in and says, no, we own the river. If you have a river well, you have to pay us and all kinds of stuff. People up here will shoot you over water. Even the most angry hippie will get violent over water up here. It's like the old days with gold. Water is so valuable here in California. And if they ever came in here onto our property and said, you know, oh, you can't use your eight wells, not going to fly. It will not go uncontested. And as far as they want to push it, that's as far as it's going to be pushed and further. Period. If they shut off the electricity, we got hand pumps. You know, plan ahead, folks. You never know what they're going to do. Let's see, did I answer those questions? Yeah, it's just like Cartman in South Park. You will respect my authority. But from what does your authority come from? Your authority comes from the people, and we haven't given you that authority. And that's what this whole thing comes down to, isn't it? People in uniforms and in ivory offices saying, I'm going to redefine what my mandate is. I don't care what the people who I work for say, because I don't really work for them. I work for another bureaucrat who works for another bureaucrat, and the anonymity kicks in where it's like, well, I can do whatever I want because there's too many bureaucrats. Until we start dragging these people into the street, beating them, those that deserve a beating, trying and hanging the ones that deserve a hanging, nothing's going to change. But I think a time is coming rapidly when they're going to force this. It won't be us. It's not going to be us. People in America are too wimpy. I'm sorry. People don't like it when I say that. But as a bulk, you're all a bunch of wimps. You will suffer just unspeakable burdens and pain saying, oh, well, at least it's not as bad as it could be. That's the nature of a modern American. It's weird. I don't know how it got that way for sure. I have my theories, but I can't put my finger right on it. Even Christians are like, oh, it's so noble for me to suffer this indignation. I don't judge a man because he suffers. It's how he reacts to that foot on his neck that I judge him by. Some guy's thrown in prison and he can't do anything about it. I don't say, oh, he's weak and he was stupid. He should have fought it out. I don't say that. It's what he does when he gets out. It's what he does while he's there trying to get out. Does he just take it laying down? Or does he shake that fist? Is he like that little mouse on the t-shirt flipping the bird to the big eagle, the last great act of defiance? We may be called as a people to suffer. But, you know, yeah. but it's how we carry that burden and how we react to it. You know, it's like people say, you know, you can really tell a good man by what he does when he thinks no one's looking. I can tell a good Christian or a good patriot or a good militia member what they do when it looks like everything's lost. How are they going to react then? Everybody can say, oh, I'll go down in a blaze of glory. When you're at your Kobayashi Maru and it's a no-win scenario, what are you going to do? You know, like that old reggae song. How are you going to come when they come for you? With your hands on your head, on your knees, or standing on your feet with your finger on the trigger of your gun? I think it's a Peter Tosh song. I know the Clash did it too. That's how I judge people. When the heat's turned up, when it's not about just seeing who has the coolest gear and who shows up to every single drill and who has all the right answers, but when it's down dirty, everything's broken, you've got a pointed stick and you're cornered in the wall, in the corner. What are you going to do? Not many people have the opportunity to have been in that area. I have a few times in my life. I've been rock bottom. I know you can always go further, but I'm saying compared to what most people have seen in their lives, I've been rock bottom. I know a lot of people that have been rock bottom, and it's how they deal with that. Do they turn to drugs? Do they surrender? Do they work with the enemy? I think one of the best gifts God ever gave me was staring right in the face of death multiple times in my life, especially when I needed it. You know, they have that old saying that nobody loves life more than someone who's nearly lost it. Well, I've nearly lost it a few times. I love life and liberty more than just about anybody I know, and I'm willing to do anything to make sure that myself and my family and those people that are close to me maintain it. That's what they're not counting on. But how many people are like that? Really, how many? How many comfortable, fat Americans are there? And I'm fat too, but I'm not comfortable. Actually, right now I'm pretty miserable, but that's another day. But most Americans are just so content with tyranny. So it's going to get really ugly real fast before it gets better. But you know what? I tend to be of the camp that that's a good thing, because we need to get rid of a lot of these sheep. There's some genetic deformation, some philosophical retardation in these people that I don't want to propagate in the new nations that we build, whatever they are. I don't want apathy. I don't want pathetic little hippie people. I don't want Christians that bend over backwards to avoid conflict. It will be a good thing for them to be skimmed out in the refiner's fire, just like a silversmith. He has to melt the silver down and all the scum will float to the top and be skimmed off. That's what's going to happen in this coming war. The scum are either going to jump out willingly or get skimmed off the top. A lot of good people are going to get hurt in it, I know, but the reward is eternal, right? We'll be with Jesus Christ. So if I die in this conflict knowing that the reward is for my children, I have no problem doing that. I kind of figure every day that I get now is a bonus from God. There are many times I should have been dead. I mean, I'm not just talking combat or bad things that happened in my life on the street, but just everyday things where you're like, wow, the Lord intervened there. I'm on borrowed time. And in reality, as soon as we're born, we're on borrowed time, aren't we? Jesus Christ paid a debt that none of us could ever afford to pay. All of us combined could not do enough good things to save one single human being in the all-encompassing path of history. All of us combined, if we gave our credits to one baby and said, here, this person gets saved by our works alone and by our efforts, it can't happen. So we're working on borrowed time, folks. We're working on somebody else's tab. So why not make it right? Give your utmost for it. It's weird to me. I keep looking at America. I just keep seeing these people run and hide. They run like scalded dogs, as our pastor says in the sermons that you're going to hear. Somebody gets arrested for resisting tyranny, and everybody's like, oh, I don't want to even talk to him. Guy gets arrested for homeschooling his kids. Oh, well, he shouldn't have done that. He should have been smart enough. Cowards. We're a nation of cowards. I can count the number of good men and women that I personally know. I mean, that I've met face to face with, in all fairness. Under 50 in my lifetime. Now, there are good people I know about, but I've never met them. I communicate with them through the internet, telephone, but I don't know them. I have a faith in the Lord that what they tell me is true, and I believe that their cause is right, and I support them. I may never meet the Cornkeys face to face, but I believe in their cause, and I trust them. And I know that in their corner of the world, they're doing the utmost that they can do in this holy cause of liberty. And the little bit that I do here is nothing compared to what other people do. I know that. This radio show is a shout in the dark. But every month, I get emails from two or three people that it changes their minds, and that's what makes it worth it. You sheepdogs that are like-minded, it's us meeting once a day and making ourselves, you know, aware that we're not alone. That's cool. But what it's really about is the one or two people a month that I can get to go, hey, boy, was I an idiot, or hey, tell me more. Yeah, what's Batfag saying there, son about? Is how many real solid friends you have in your life? People that you really would spend a life and death situation with and stand by them. It's not very many. It's honest, isn't it? But that's because of the character of this nation and the way we've gotten. You go back 100 years, that would have changed. You go back 150 years, it would be even bigger. And I always say I'm waiting for a leader. Okay, Chuck Baldwin stood up and I'm willing to follow him. Pastor Weaver, Pastor Campbell. But in 1776, how many of the founding fathers were there? I mean, how many signed the Declaration of Independence? Somebody, trivia question. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I should know it. Do we have that many people in the entire nation today? That was 13 colonies, limited population, and they mustered that many men who were willing to risk their lives. But in a nation this big, I don't even know what the population is anymore. I don't care about numbers. I deal with ideas. We couldn't muster half that quality, could we? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't get out much. I'm hidden up here in my stronghold. Wake up, Lou. Here, throw a boot at Lou. Stay awake. Wake up. Guy sleeps all night, all day, and he can't even stay awake during a radio show. Can't trust you for guard duty if I can't trust you for a radio show when I'm yelling 3 feet from your head. Sit up. It's about training our youth to be trustworthy, folks. Teachable moment. Our kids are more worried about the latest video games, fashions, and pop stars than they are about preparing their hearts and minds for battle. And that's our fault. We can do everything we want to try and redirect it, but the character has dwindled in our population, our species, our group, whatever you want to call it. The American is no longer the leader of the whole world. Not that I think that they should lead the whole world, but you get my point. We should be this nation should be the envy of all countries, not the laughingstock. Probably not since World War II have we been that way. And that was part of the Fabian Socialist plan, wasn't it? They destroyed the character of our people, didn't they? The enemy has succeeded, but not completely. The answer is to all of this. Sure, it's easy for me to sit here in this little room and point out all the mistakes everybody's made. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. But the answer is very simple. Turn to God, find a handful of people you can trust, and build on that. Build on that. I really want that to sink in. Every single show, I'm going to hit that. And I try to, and I may miss it getting it across, but that's my intent every single show. Do everything you can every day to prepare for the battle that's coming in a few days, few years, who knows. Don't let them win without firing a shot. Think about that. Do you really want liberty to disappear without even a whimper on this whole planet because we refuse to stand guard, stand in the gap? Because you didn't go through this list on my website and have at least a duffel bag full of supplies so you could fight at least a week? Do you really want to answer to God for that? Do you want to answer? Okay, let's say you're an ungodly person. Do you want your grandchildren who will live in slave labor camps to think back upon you and go, what did they give us? So again, I say, America has become a nation of wimpy, yellow-spined cowards, with the exception being that select few to stand in the gap. And I don't know the numbers. I really don't. Because you don't even know people that are legitimately doing it. You know, we hear stuff on all the radio shows and everything, and I could say stuff, oh, we had 100 people, 150 people raise their hand and say yes, but how many in that number really meant yes? How many people are just donning the gear and playing the game? I'm not even talking about infiltrators. I'm talking about people that are just weak of heart, but put on the makeup and the clothes and think themselves an opera singer when they're just some guy singing in the shower. I know so many people that want all the toys, buy all the gadgets, but can't shoot straight, can't carry a pack, can't follow an order, aren't willing to submit themselves to proper godly authority and militia authority. We got a long way to go, folks. I don't know if we're going to get there before they pull the trigger. I really don't. But each day that we have to prepare is a moment of grace, a 24-hour period of God telling us, what are you doing? I'm giving you another day here. Get out in your garage and check your gear. If you can't hear him saying that, you're not listening. And you haven't paid attention to history. All the signs are there. Every time tyranny is hit in the past, the only thing changes is the order sometimes and the time frame. That's it. Nothing's changed in history with tyranny. They get a little bit better at it. Sometimes they make mistakes. Sometimes they give up when you think they're about to hit, and then bam, they come out of left field, but it's always the same stuff. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And every day I tell you guys, look, we're here. We're up here at this church. You know what I get? Oh, man, I don't really want to come. And this is from people that live within 50 miles of me. It's just such a hard thing to come up for training. Oh, coming to church on Sundays and doing your classes, it's so hard. Can't you just write it all up in a manual and give it to me? I walk away from that. I can't drag somebody into it. You know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you can drag an American to the truth, but you can't make him see it. You can dress up an American like a freedom fighter, but you can't make him understand what he's doing, much less pull the trigger. I get people come up and go, oh, I really like what you're doing, but just the gun thing scares me. I just look at him and go, you're really saying that to me? You're really saying that everything up here is really cool, you just don't like the fact that we use guns in our training?
Isn't that someone tyrannizing you, what you believe?
Well, especially if they get aggressive about it, yeah, and they're telling me that I shouldn't be a Christian carrying guns, and I'm like, oh, so you're, and I go, you just declared yourself an enemy of mine. And they go, what? I said, you're overriding what God's law is for me.
They're pushing their views on you.
Well, yeah, it depends how they do it. But I'm talking about, yeah, you're right about that. But I'm talking about the ones that just come up here scared. Oh, I'd be part of it if you guys just would cover your guns. So you're saying it's okay for me to carry a gun as long as it's concealed in church. We've had people do that. And they go, yeah, if it's concealed. I go, but it's still there. Oh, these are the same people that are going to run screaming when some gunman, God forbid if it ever happens, comes into the church. You know what I'm here to tell you? I may not save your family. I may choose to save those families that have been authentic and have been diligent to the Word of God, not cowards. We're to save the innocent, not the cowards, as Christian soldiers. Yeah, I said I wasn't going to get all philosophical in this show. I was just going to get practical, and I got philosophical again. Sorry, guys. Nah, I'm not sorry. To be honest, I like talking the philosophical stuff more. If that drives away listeners, well, that's too bad. I'm here for sheepdogs. If you like what you hear, donate, donate, donate. We've got to get out of this location that we're up there. We've got to get to an office location where we have 24-hour access to the internet. We've got to have our own servers. We've got to be able to do this so we can reach you 24 hours a day. If you don't like it, then don't donate. But if you do like it, donate something. If you've already donated this month, don't donate again. Just go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones, DutchJones.info. There's a pitch in there. You can pitch in. If you're listening on Liberty Tree Radio, kick them down some money. If you're looking to do your own radio show, check out Liberty Tree Radio. I saw they're looking for hosts. They need sponsors of programs. You got a program you like? You got a business? They'll put together an ad for you, I bet. If they can't, I will. I'll put together a commercial for anybody. Sends me some information on your business. You make a regular donation to Liberty Tree Radio, I'll make your commercials. I like editing commercials. If you like the ones I've done for this, if not, okay. I'm volunteering my skills there. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio program, where we believe in the holy cause of liberty, but we always remember that the sword is heavy, and the battle is hard, but the victory is the Lord's alone. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty.